This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. It's definitely not easy anymore. That quote from one brewer opens the MIBiz series of stories on the state of the craft beverage industry. Reporters looked at trends, changes, and what are called growing pains of craft brewers. John Wiegand is a staff writer for MIBiz and one of the contributors to the series on craft beverages. John, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So if we were trying to sum up the overall trend for the craft beverage industry, what might we say right now?
The industry is growing up, and that's causing some, like you said, and we said, growing pains.
Does Michigan deviate significantly from other states? We know that we have a lot of brewers here, especially this side of the state, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. But are the trends similar in Michigan as we would probably find in most other states in the country?
I would say so. For most other states with similar population of craft brewers, the dynamics and industry trends kind of hold true across the country.
So you looked at the suppliers. So we're actually a step back from the brewers. What are they seeing, and what is it doing to their business?
Sure. So most of the suppliers that I talk to serve the smaller brewers, and that kind of fits a more national trend. Basically, the thinking goes that if you're a brewer, you're not going to be the next Bell's or the next Founders. You're going to come in and be a small brewer. So by and large, the volume of new brewers are small neighborhood brew pubs, and that's led to opportunities for these suppliers who kind of have carved out a niche for serving these smaller producers with small barrel brewing systems or smaller orders of hops and that sort of thing.
And we find out in one of your stories that the federal budget debate, which of course includes all sorts of things, also has an impact on the craft beverage industry. Explain what exactly is going on here.
Sure. So a lot of the hop and barley research programs are funded through federal portions of the federal budget. And, you know, like everything, those budget cuts, like you said, there are a pretty wide-ranging implication. The brewing industry right now is pretty focused on hop and barley research as a way to, you know, expand offerings and get different flavors and stuff like that in the beer. And it really does depend on these grants. Like I mentioned in the story, the Michigan State Extension Office relies quite a bit on this funding for their hop and barley research as well.
I suppose some people might wonder, with all of the different things we've seen craft brewers do, the different flavorings, the different sort of brews, how much left there is to truly research in terms of what you can do with hops and barley?
A lot of it is doing stuff for like disease resistance allowing these hops or these crops to be grown in different climates. So for instance, some varieties of hops don't do all that well in Michigan because they're susceptible to a disease called downy mildew, and Michigan being a wet area, you know, that really is an issue. So there, you know, some of the research is focused on trying to, you know, expand the range or available planting area of these crops, make them more resistant, or, you know, in the case of barley, get them up to the quality standards that brewers are looking for.
Could the industry withstand a big cut in federal research dollars if it came? In other words, do they think that there's enough private money there and maybe some other resources they could turn to if, in fact, at some point these proposed federal budget cuts became reality?
That's a little uncertain of how much they could continue research, but they are looking inwards towards industry partners to fund that. The Brewers Association, that's a big trade group based out of Colorado. They're putting more and more dollars towards these projects, $500,000 in 2017. So there is some interest coming from the industry. I think craft brewers, especially the larger ones, recognize the need for this. So, the Brewers Association, American Malting Barley Association, they're definitely picking up some of the tab.
And you also have a story about what happens when the name of a particular brew gets a little edgy, shall we say, perhaps has a double entendre. Is this something which has become more common, less common in recent years?
I think it kind of ebbs and flows a little bit, to be honest. It seems like we've went through periods where it has been bigger of a problem. Then it's kind of slowed down, and it appears to be ramping up again, maybe as more craft brewers enter the industry.
Do there seem to be more people expressing concerns about it from within the industry, looking around and saying, you know, that's maybe not the best representation of our businesses as a whole?
Yeah, certainly there's been rumblings among individuals in the industry for quite some time, criticism over these labels. Recently at the Craft Beer Conference in Washington, D.C., the Brewers Association announced that they were making some changes to their marketing code and advertising code to address some of the branding for offensive beer or offensive beer labels, as they called them. So that's the first time that I've seen that, a large kind of trade group or governing body has made a comment on that issue.
How much influence does a trade group have over something as widespread, as independent-minded as craft brewing can be?
Right. That's an excellent question. I mean, on one hand, the Brewers Association has kind of the preeminent organization for craft brewers. The conference was enormous, and they do hold quite a bit of weight in the industry. On the other hand, like you mentioned, craft brewers are known to be rebellious and kind of going against the status quo a bit. So, it's hard to say how much sway this is actually going to have. The Brewers Association did receive some criticism from those within the industry, pointing to their updates to their marketing code did not go far enough, that they lacked teeth of any enforcement of these offensive beer labels.
Is this one of those growing pains that we're talking about, that the craft beer industry maybe has been able to operate more like a teenage boy up until a point, and then maybe now as they're getting closer to adulthood, there's a different perception, and maybe some people in the industry feel a need to behave a little differently?
Yeah, I think so. One of the branding experts I talked to for my story likened it to the craft brewing industry still being in their pubescent years. And I think that holds true in some cases. It's largely a business move. So craft brewers want to expand, how many people drink craft beer and kind of court people away from the big domestic brand. So as a way to do that, they see markets for women drinkers and minority drinkers who, typically or by and large haven't taken to craft beer as much as Caucasian males. So there's definitely a business case for this as well.
I want to go back to the quote at the beginning of this series of stories in MIBiz. It's definitely not easy anymore. What are the things that do make it challenging right now to be in the craft beverage industry?
Sure. So it depends on where you are in the craft beverage industry. If we're talking about the regional players like Founders and Bell's, or maybe even a little bit bigger than those, they're finding it challenging to still maintain their footprint through distribution. So I mean, basically, they're getting squeezed at the top end from the big producers like Anheuser-Busch and other producers that have gotten into craft, and they're also being squeezed on the bottom end by people or by brewers who have opened neighborhood brew pubs and the like. So, they're trying to find ways to stay competitive in between those goalposts. Whereas if you're a small brewer, there's a host of challenges. It's similar to starting any business. The day of being able to just throw out a craft beer product into the market and be marginally successful enough to stay open, 5 years is kind of come and went. Most people in the industry say that you really have to know your stuff, not only about brewing but also about business to be successful. So having craft on your label doesn't seem to cut it anymore.
And is there also maybe a different landscape that these smaller brewers are stepping into, that it really is at this point hard to imagine someone becoming the next Bell's or the next Founders because of just how saturated the market is?
Definitely, and that comes into play really with retail shelf space. So there's only so much room on store shelves for beer, and it's harder for these smaller players to, they don't have the resources like the bigger players to, spread out their product. So really the constraint is on shelf space, and with so many more choices in the market, it's going to be very challenging for someone to become the next Bell's or the next Founders.
So is a smaller brewer then thinking that if they can operate a brew pub, sell their beer there, maybe add food, that can be a place where they can sort of carve out their place in the market?
Certainly, and most of the kind of the old hands in the industry would advise young brewers that or new breweries that's probably their best bet. You open up a neighborhood brew pub, you really work on dialing in your beer for that area, the food, and kind of growing from there as a neighborhood brew pub. Maybe if you do distribution, it's on a limited scale to promote your beer through kind of like quasi advertising, or you just do it on a small scale for self distribution. But the breweries that go into it full bore with plans on distributing, even before they really establish themselves at a location, they don't often have the best of luck.
John Wiegand, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
John Wiegand is a staff writer for MIBiz. You can find links to the stories on the state of the craft beverage industry at MIBiz.com and also through a link at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.